الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, continuing with the book Kashf al-Shubuhat fi Tawheed, dealing with the concept of great worshipping that is commonly spread amongst the Muslims. We have been dealing with a number of discussions to refute those who say that their presence at the graveyards and their tawaf around the graves and them seeking intercession with the dead people is not shirk, and they claim that this is sort of a valid act of worship in Islam, and we're proving through the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah that this is very similar to what the mushrikeen of Quraysh before that and after that were doing at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh went on to say, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا الَّذِي يُسَمِّيهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِي زَمَانِنَا هَذَا الْإِعْتِقَادِ هو الشرك الذي نزل فيه القرآن وقاتل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس عليه فاعلم أن شرك الأولين أخف من شرك أهل زماننا بأمرين. If it becomes clear to you that that which the mushrikeen called in this day and time i'tiqad, and actually this was 200 years ago when the Shaykh authored this particular book, today they call it tawassul or wasita, basically a connection. Either they say it's a wasita connection, like if you want to go to sometimes you want to get some paperwork done, and the only way you can get the paperwork done is by knowing someone that works in there, and this is called a wasita. You probably heard this in the, you know, the slang. And of course, Islamically, it's the people trying to use it in the same context, having a connection. So they say that these people are our connection with Allah. Or tawassul, which at times, you know, tawassul to Allah through your righteous deeds, like the three men who were trapped in a cave, and each one of them supplicated to Allah, did tawassul to Allah by good deeds that they performed, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the rock to move away from the cave, and then they were able to leave. So they say this is tawassul, and what we're doing is also a form of tawassul. But either way, this is what they call it. If you have come to know that this is what the mushrikeen call today al-i'tiqad or tawassul al-wasita, is the same shirk which the Quran denounced, the same shirk which the Quran spoke against, as we mentioned in many verses. And it's the same shirk that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against the people in regards to. He fought against them because of this very kind of shirk that they had. Now you must know that the shirk of the people today, the shirk of the earlier people is actually less serious than the shirk of the people today. Yani the shirk of the Qurayshis is less severe than the shirk of the people whose name may be Muhammad and Ahmad and Abdullah and so on and so forth, who will have a Muslim passport, born into a Muslim family and claim to be a Muslim. But his shirk is more severe and more dangerous than the shirk at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You may say, how can that be? Well, there are two reasons. أحدهما أن الأولين لا يشركون ولا يدعون الملائكة والأولياء والأوثان مع الله إلا في الرخاء وأما في الشدة فيخلصون لله الدعاء. First, the mushrikeen, the earlier mushrikeen, the former ones, they did not commit shirk by calling onto the angels or the awliya or the idols with Allah, except at the time of ease, when things were cool, on day-to-day basis, nothing, no calamity, no problem. This is when they called on to these guys, you see there are these so-called intercessors. But when difficulty came, when there was hardship, then they called on to Allah alone. And you may say, give me your evidence, and there will be plenty of that. The first one is in Surah Al-Isra, verse 67. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانَ كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says interpretation of the meaning in English. And if harm touches you upon the ocean, then those whom you call on besides Him vanish, except Allah. Except Allah. And so when He saves you, He allows you to safely make it to the land, you turn away. Verily, man is ever ungrateful. So then Allah mentioned that when the hardship comes upon them, then all the things that they call upon, they will vanish. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second ayah is in Surah Al-An'am, verses 40 and 41. قوله قل أرأيتكم إن أتاكم عذاب الله أو أتتكم الساعة أغير الله تدعون إن كنتم صادقين بل إياه تدعون فيكشف ما تدعون إليه إن شاء وتنسون ما تشركون. Say, do you see if the torment of Allah shall come upon you, or the hour, يعني the day of judgment, as any object of worship, anyone that you call on besides Allah, أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ, would you call anyone besides Allah, if you are truthful? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, gave us the answer, nay, rather it is only He who you will call, and He will remove that harm that has befallen upon you, if He wills, and He will forget about the other gods that you were worshipping. So again, at the time of difficulty, the mushrikeen, when they will be in the ocean and waves will come about them, then they call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. They don't remember their idols, they don't remember their intercessors, they don't even think about them. They sincerely call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is understood in the last verse, or the last two verses that we will quote. One is in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 8. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرُّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا ضُرٌّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا. If calamity or if harm befalls upon the son of Adam, he cries to his Lord while turning in repentance. Allah told us when calamity falls upon us, this is what the people do, both the believers and the disbelievers. Until Allah says, قُلْ تَمَتَّعْ بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. Say, meaning O Muhammad ﷺ, to the people, enjoy your disbelief partially for some time. Verily you are among the inhabitants of the hellfire. You may enjoy the shirk today, but then you will pay for the consequences of these two choices that you made today. And the last one in Surah Luqman, verse 32. وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعُوا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And if waves come upon them like shades, yani huge waves, then verily they will supplicate to Allah while being sincere to Him in their supplication, sincere to Him in their religion. So Allah affirmed in the Quran that the disbelievers that were considered to be kuffar and mushrikeen, and the Prophet ﷺ fought against them. Allah told us in the Quran that at the time of need, they worshipped Allah alone. And at the time of ease, this is when they worship their idols and the statues and so on and so forth, the angels and the messengers and the prophets like Isa and others. فَمَنْ فَهِمَ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَ الَّتِي وَضَّحَهَا اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَهِيَ أَنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَيَدْعُونَ غَيْرَهُ فِي الرَّقَاءِ. So if you have come to understand this matter, then the fact that Allah had clearly explained in His book, in the Quran, that the mushrikeen, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought against, used to call unto Allah and call unto others at the time of ease. وَأَمَّا فِي الضُّرِّ وَالشِّدَّةِ فَلَا يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Whereas at the time of calamity and difficulty and distress, they did not call except to Allah. They did not call upon anyone except Allah, associated no partners with Him. وَيَنْسَوْنَ سَادَتَهُمْ, and they forget about their masters and their so-called intercessors. تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْفَرْضَ بَيْنَ شِرْكِ أَهْلِ زَمَانِنَا وَشِرْكِ الْأَوَّلِينَ. It will become clear to you the distinction between the shirk at the time of the Messenger of Allah and the shirk Because today, they call upon these people at the time of ease and at the time of distress. Rather, they go to them at the time of distress more than at the time of ease. So they go to the grave of Abdul Qadir al-Jilani or al-Badawi or Ibn Arabi or others of their so-called mashayikh. And they go around the graves waiting for inspiration, calling upon them, sending them letters, sacrificing animals in their graves, doing tawaf around the graves. This is something so-called Muslims do today. And you look at them and you cannot make a distinction between the Muslim and the Hindu. You can no longer tell the difference between Muslim and the Mushrik. If this is what a Muslim is going to do, what did he do? What did you need for Tawheed? What is left for Tawheed? If a Muslim is going to depend on a dead person in the grave by seeking aid from him and assistance and dependence, what did you need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then who's the one who answers the supplication? Who's the one who made it compulsory upon me and you to worship him alone in every aspect of worship? There's nothing excluded in Islam. There's nothing that allows you to worship anyone other with Allah in any circumstance. You see, if you, for example, eating pig, this wine is forbidden. But Allah says in the Quran that the one who's in a time of need, necessity, if you have to do that in order to survive, then you're not sinful, right? Because of the need. You will find that Islam gives you concessions in every aspect of worship. If you want to pray, you're supposed to stand up. But if you have some physical illness, you may sit down. If you're unable to sit down, you may lie down. If all of your bones are broken, but you cannot even lie down, then you pray with your eyes. The idea is, there's never any room to, you know, there's always ease. Allah always made it easy. Except with Tawheed. When it came to ibadah, at no point you are allowed to, Allah, depend on the Prophet Muhammad or others. At no point, under any circumstances, can a Muslim call on to anyone besides Allah. And we said, the Prophet said, الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Supplication, dua is ibadah, is worship. So when someone then does dua for someone who's dead, they are worshipping them. Whether they claim that or not, they may tell you, I'm not worshipping him, I'm only asking him, but I'm really worshipping Allah. We say, explain to me what worship means. You must not know what worship means. Because once you go like this, once your heart is attached and you're hoping for some gain, then this must be to Allah alone. It cannot be to anyone else. And let alone a living person. If you tell your brother, make dua for me, that's fine. But to ask a dead person to make dua for you or to intercede with Allah for you, then this is the very shirk that the Prophet ﷺ fought the people against. That's what the Quraishis were upon. And we established, if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. See, but we don't, they're saying we only use these as shufa'a. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They say these are our intercessors with Allah. That's it. We don't think they created, we don't think they sustain, we don't think they regulate the affairs of the world. We only think that they intercede for us with Allah. This is exactly the same shirk that some of the so-called Muslims are doing in this day and time. So then now you know the difference. That the shirk of today among the so-called Muslims is more severe than the ones before. Because these ones today call upon their false gods at the time of ease and difficulty. Back then it was only at the time of difficulty, not at the time of ease. طيب ولكن أين من يفهم قلبه هذه المسألة فهما جيدا راسخا والله المستعان. But where are the people who understand this rightly, in the right context, with a clear understanding, and Allah's aid is sought. والأمر الثاني, the second reason why the shirk of today is more severe than the shirk of back then. أن الأولين يدعون مع الله أناسا مقربين عند الله إما أنبياء وإما أولياء وإما ملائكة أو يدعون أشجارا وأحجارا مطيعة لله ليست عاصية. The early mushriks, they used to actually call on besides Allah, call on to besides Allah, people that are near to Allah, like the prophets who are of lofty status with Allah, or the angels who are also near to Allah, or the awliya, the righteous people, the friends of Allah, who are also near to Allah. Or they would call unto the trees, or to the rocks, right? Or any of the creation, and those, the creation of Allah, is obedient to Allah, not disobedient. Does anyone know the evidence? What's the evidence that the tree, and the stone, and the building, and the birds, and everything, what's the evidence that everything obeys Allah? Does anyone know the evidence from the Quran? Huh? I can't hear you. Hey, no, but there's an ayah in the Quran which indicates that everything. No, no. Well, yeah, that's one. But there's one more specific. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُ. Allah says, the seven heavens and the earth and everything between them glorifies Allah. Then Allah says, and there isn't anything except that it glorifies Allah. But you do not understand their glorification. Everything remembers Allah. The trees and the stones and the everything that Allah created. وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. In the Arabic language, this leaves nothing out. There isn't anything except that it glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, but you do not understand their glorification. At times this manifested like with Dawood alayhi salatu salam, al-jibal. The mountains used to glorify Allah with Dawood alayhi salatu salam. At the hajar, the stone used to do tasbih in the hand of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were exceptions where we actually have evidences about that. But this ayah in the Quran, according to the tafsir, indicates that everything glorifies Allah. So then these mushriks, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were either calling upon an angel, which is near to Allah, or a prophet, which is near to Allah, or a wali, which is also near to Allah, or even the stones and the trees, which are also obedient to Allah, and they're not disobedient. وَأَهْلُ زَمَانِنَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ أُنَاسًا مِنْ أَفْسَقِ النَّاسِ. But today, the mushrikeen of our time, they call upon besides Allah, the most wicked of people. The most wicked of people. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَهُمْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَحْكُونَ عَنْهُمُ الْفُجُورِ مِنَ الزِّنَا وَالصَّرِقَةِ وَتَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. And those that they call upon, they tell you about some of their stories. Some of them are known for being fornicators, some of them are thieves, some of them are known for abandoning salah. Particularly the Sufis. You see the Sufis, there are levels of course. There's a level of Sufism where the person tries to be ascetic, right? And he denounces the dunya, he doesn't care for the dunya, and he's often engaged in some sort of remembrance. They wear particular clothing, they have a particular lifestyle. And of course this is not from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this is not as severe. The extreme Sufism, those who believe for instance in Wahdat al-Wujud, which is basically everything you see is Allah. They believe that Allah and the creation are one entity. There's no separation between the creator and the creation. Like Ibn Arabi. Ibn Arabi is among the famous Sufism who used to say about himself, Subhani. Imagine how crazy this man was. Subhani. Glory be to me. Not Subhanallah. He used to say about himself, Subhani. Glory be to me. He told the people, there's nothing inside this tawb except Allah. That's what he told the people. He wrote this in his books. Major Sufi. Yani he went, of course, according to the ulama, he's a kafir. He's kafir beyond any doubt about this belief. Yani statements that no one will say, A'udhu Billah, something that you cannot even say. They say that if you see a woman walking down the street, you're looking at Allah. That's what some of the extreme Sufis which believe in this, what is known as pantheism, which is this idea that everything is the God, and God, like the Hindus, very similar to some of the Hindu mentality, yani philosophical Greek based concept of God. And this is what the Sufis actually believe, not all of them, but those who are extreme amongst them. Now, many of the grave worshippers actually worship these kinds of individuals, like Al-Badawi and Ibn Arabi and so on. And these people were known, where they claim, according to the Sufis, that if you reach, they reach such a level of unity with Allah, where they no longer need to do salah. That to them, khalas, I've reached the ultimate faith, salah is not necessary for me anymore. So basically, he's better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who still needed salah. And then they use evidences from the Quran. Huh? You know what evidence they use? Allah says, wa'bud rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen, and worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Now the word yaqeen, according to the Mufassirin, is understood to be death, until the moment of death. They say no here, yaqeen meaning certainty. Yani once you reach certainty, then Allah says, only worship Allah ideologies that are, have nothing to do with Islam. But when the Muslims spread around the world, of course during the time of the Sahaba, there was purity in faith because they learned from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they had no such issues. But when the Muslim Empire started to grow and many people entered into Islam, they brought with them some of the remnants, some of their old understanding of their concept of God. And they tried to understand Allah in the context of their philosophical theology. And this is when all of this bid'ah and shirk came into existence, and this is where the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah had to put down some foundation in order to refute these individuals, to tell them that what you're doing is not what the Prophet ﷺ was upon. Otherwise, there was no Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Nizam al-Sahaba, because there was no need for that. That had to be established when the people deviated concerning these affairs. So then, these are some of the people that they worship are corrupt at this level, known for zina wal-iyazu billah, known for theft, stealing, and known for abandoning the salah. والذي يعتقد في الصالح والذي لا يعصي مثل الخشب والحجر أهون مما يعتقد في من يشاهد فسقه وفساده ويشهد به. So now the one who is actually calling upon a false god that at least is near to Allah is less serious and severe than the one who is calling upon a wicked individual whom he knows is wicked and he testifies to that. والعياذ بالله. And these people know that. That some of these individuals they're calling upon, and we don't know. At the end of the day, no one knows the affairs of the people of the grave. And this is really one of the strongest reputations. For you to call on to someone who's dead, thinking that he will benefit you, you must be able to confirm first that he is righteous, that Allah is pleased with him, and that he is in a good state. But you cannot confirm that. So on what basis then are you calling upon someone who may be punished in his grave? You see? And assuming that the person lived the righteous life, let alone a person who is known for abandoning the salah, then how do you expect him to be righteous in his grave and think that he will be able to intercede with you, for you with Allah? Although he needs your dua. The dead people at the grave, they need you, the living, dua, that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to pardon them and to have mercy on them. This is what the Prophet ﷺ indicated, that the best kind of thing you would do for your deceased, your parents, if Allah had decreed that they passed away, may Allah preserve all of your parents. If they had passed away, the best thing you could do for them is istighfar. When Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when the son of Adam dies, his deeds are cut off, except from three sources he mentioned, وَوَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ, a righteous child, supplicating to the parents. That's one of the most beneficial things. Not that you go and ask them, that you ask Allah to forgive them. So who needs who? The dead, they need the living. Not the living needing the dead. Yani this is a twisted understanding of things. And you only get that when you deviate from the path of Allah. Otherwise, if you read the Quran, if you understand the Quran, in whatever language you speak, this is why, Ikhwan, we always remind that there's barakah in reading the book of Allah in Arabic. But that's not sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this book so you may work according with it. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah told us why the Quran was sent down. A book we have sent down upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blessed. Why? لِيَتَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so they may reflect upon its verses. And the people of understanding will take a reminder. Meaning you are supposed to understand the Quran and be reminded by the Quran. If you don't know what you're reading, how will you ever attain that? It's not feasible. So then if you speak Urdu, then you should have a Quran in Arabic, the book of Allah, and you should have the interpretation of the meaning in Urdu. So when you read something, you know what it says. Yani some time must be dedicated to that. Because when you read these ayat, you can never go worship a dead person. When you hear this, how can you go to them? Because people don't know. They are ignorant. And so, then they must be educated. We must educate ourselves and educate our family members who don't know any better. Sometimes their intentions are good, but they don't know any better. So then somebody has to carry on this task of sharing this information with our brothers and sisters in Islam worldwide. Not locally here, everywhere in the world. When you go back to your country, you must take something with you for the people in order to take them from the darkness to the light. Because very often they have no other choice. Their ulama, their scholars, their leaders, they tell them that this me anything, man. I know Islam, alhamdulillah, miya miya, don't tell me anything about your Wahhabi, khalas, please. You go your way, lakum deenukum waliyadeen. It's the same thing. Say, akhi, why are you blocking the road? So you have to really be yani, wise how to reach out for these people and educate them that akhi, the Quran negated what you're doing. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. طيب. إذا تحققت أن الذين قتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصح عقولا وأخف شركا من هؤلاء فاعلم أن لهؤلاء شبهة يريدونها على ما ذكرنا. If it becomes clear to you that those whom the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم fought against are more sound in their intellect and less severe in their shirk than the so-called Muslims we have today, then know that these mushrikeen of today have a very, very, we don't want to call it strong, but very slick argument that they will present to you. And so you must be careful. They will present something that may confuse you. وَهِيَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ شُبَيْهِمْ فَصْغِ سَمْعَكَ لِجَوَابِهَا. It's one of the greatest of their arguments. So pay attention to the answer for that one. وَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ. They will say to you, you go to a so-called Muslim today, his name is Muhammad, who believes that this dead person will intercede for him with Allah, and he will give him rizq, and he will heal his sick child, and anything along these lines. You go tell him, ask him, what you're doing is just like the mushrikeen of Quraysh. Actually, you're worse. He will tell you, time out. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ نَزَلَ فِيهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَيُكَذِّبُونَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَيُنْكِرُونَ الْبَعْثَ وَيُكَذِّبُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَجْعَلُونَهُ سِحْرًا. He will say to you, listen, those whom the Qur'an was descended upon, which are the Qurayshis, they do not bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And they deny the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They deny resurrection, as Allah told us in the Quran. They deny the Quran, and they say that the Quran is magic. طيب, he will tell you that. وَنَحْنُ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. But we bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe in the Quran, and we believe in resurrection, and we pray, and we fast. وَنُصَلِّ وَنَصُومُ فَكَيْفَ تَجْعَلُونَنَا مِثْلَ أُولَئِكَ. How do you make us like them? Good. Does anyone would anyone like to attempt to answer? That's a strong argument. Say, listen, you keep telling me that I'm like the mushrik. He will tell you that. You keep saying that I am like those believers of Quraysh. But they deny the Quran, they deny the Prophet Sallam, they don't believe in the oneness of Allah, they deny resurrection. I am not like that. I believe in the testimony of faith, I believe in, you know, the Quran, I believe in resurrection, I fast, I pray. How are you making me like them? How do you answer that? What is it? طيب. طيب. صح. That deals with the first portion of the book. But there's actually a new reply to that one. That reply is what we have been establishing. But he doesn't agree with that. He will tell you that I'm still not the same. We want a particular answer for what he's doing today versus what they did then, on the basis that he's saying that I'm not like them. I believe in things that they don't believe in. I am a Muslim. They never accepted Islam. So then how would you argue that? Both are associated partners with Allah. That's the general answer. The specific answer is the following. According to all of the ulama, if you believe in some and you disbelieve in some, you're a disbeliever. Okay? For example, if you say, you read the Quran, Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Okay? Establish prayer and pay charity, the obligatory charity. So you come and say, صلاة ما في مشكلة. زكاة no. I don't believe. Upon you saying that, you became a Catholic. Your earlier acknowledgement of the Salah has become void by you rejecting the Zakah. You see, you cannot believe in some and disbelieve in some. This is by the Quran. We will give you the evidences. So this is how you have to understand the argument. They say, you say to them, look, you're doing something, you're believing in the things that you have mentioned, but you're disbelieving in others. Because of the disbelief, you have negated your belief. And this is something that is very common. فالجواب أنه لا خلاف بين العلماء كلهم أن الرجل إذا صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في شيء وكذبه في شيء أنه كافر لم يدخل في الإسلام. There is no dispute among the scholars that if a man believes in what the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was given in some aspect, okay, and he denies him or he belies him in another aspect, that he's a kafir who did not enter into Islam. And we know this from many examples from the Quran and the Sunnah. We have the example of the two Jews who came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him a number of questions. When he replied to them, they told him, we bear witness that you are the Messenger of Allah. He said, what prevents you from entering into Islam? And so they said that we are afraid of our people. Okay? So at that point, these two Jews acknowledged that this was the Messenger of Allah. Like Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet, did he not know that his nephew was the Messenger of Allah? He did. That's why he supported him, he aided him, he helped him out, because he knew that this was the religion of truth. But did he accept Islam? No. So then accepting something while rejecting something else means that you're rejecting everything. Right. Is that clear? So because Allah says in the Quran, for example, about the people of Nuh, كذبت قوم نوح المرسلين. We mentioned this before. The people of Nuh belied the messengers. And we said that Nuh was the first messenger. There were no messengers. But Allah said that they belied the messengers, because upon disbelieving in Nuh, they automatically disbelieved in everything and every messenger. So it's, then we say Iman is one entity that cannot be divided. You cannot say, I believe in the angels, but I don't believe in the books. I believe in the last day, but I don't believe in Qadr. No such division. You either accept Iman as a whole, or you reject Iman as a whole. There's no gray area in Iman. You see what I'm saying? Like, وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا آمَنَ بِبَعْضِ الْقُرْآنِ وَجَحَدَ بَعْضًا. Similarly, if you believe in some of the Qur'an, and you disbelieve in other part, then you don't believe in the Qur'an anymore. كَمَنْ أَقَرَّ التَّوْحِيدُ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبُ الصَّلَاةِ. Like the one who acknowledges Tawheed, but he denies that Salah is obligatory. أَوْ أَقَرَّ التَّوْحِيدُ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبُ الزَّكَاةِ. Or he acknowledges Tawheed and Salah, but he denies Zakah. There's no such thing as fasting in Ramadan. أو أقر بهذا كله وجحد الحج. Or he acknowledged everything, the tawheed and the salah and the zakah and the psalm, but he says no hajj. I don't have to do hajj. ولما لم ينقد أناس في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج أنزل الله في حقهم ولله على الناس حج البيت لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. Pay attention to the wording. Surah Al-Imran, verse 97. When some people did not respond to the call of Allah concerning Hajj, when they were called to perform Hajj, it became obligatory, and some people did not respond to that, Allah revealed this particular ayah. Allah says, and humanity owes to Allah the performance of Hajj. Humans, mankind, owes to Allah the performing of Hajj, whoever is able to do so. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And whoever disbelieves, verily Allah stands in no need of His creation. Allah stands in no need of the alameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who does not want to do Hajj, who denies Hajj, then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. وَمَنْ عَفْوًا كَفَرَ. The one who disbelieves. So Allah, for this ayah, mentioned that if somebody wanted to deny a pillar of Islam, and we know Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam, if someone wanted to deny that and not fulfill that, then he is committing kufr by the verses of Allah in the Quran. So that indicates that everything is one entity. If you believe in some, you disbelieve in some, you're a disbeliever. And this is وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِهَذَا كُلَّهُ وَجَحَدَ الْبَعَثَ كَفَرَ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. Let's say someone says, I believe in the five pillars of Islam, but I don't believe in resurrection. Is he a Muslim? If someone says, no, there's no back, there's no resurrection, no judgment, no accountability, is he a Muslim? Say no. Because it's established in the Quran that you will be resurrected. Right or wrong? So many ayat, we cannot even quote them right now. That Allah promised that the people will be resurrected. And Allah refuted those who said that they will not be resurrected, and declared them to be disbelievers. So then if someone disbelieved in only one aspect of the deen, then he becomes a disbeliever. This is how you counter-argue their argument. By explaining that by believing in some and disbelieving in some, you are not a believer. This is further explained in Surah An-Nisa, verses 150 and 151, very fundamental verses. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Allah says, look how clear this ayah is. Verily, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, pay attention, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, and they want to make a distinction between Allah and His messengers by saying, we would believe in some and disbelieve in some, and they want to take a path of such in between, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. Verily, these are the disbelievers in truth. Had Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, or أُولَٰئِكَ, it would be sufficient. If Allah called them disbelievers, حَقًّا, for emphasis, in truth, these are the kuffar, for real. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا, and we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating torment or punishment. So Allah told us in the Quran that those who want to make a distinction, who falls under this ayah? Every Christian and every Jew who say that we will believe in Jesus, we believe in Moses, we believe in David, we believe in Solomon, we believe in Jonah, we believe in Jacob, but we will not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone wants to make this distinction by saying we believe in some and disbelieve in some, and they want to take this as a fact, Allah says those are the kuffar in truth. You see? So then according to this ayah, you cannot make a distinction between the matters of faith, because Allah made them conclusive. You have to accept everything. If you reject something, then you are rejecting everything. فَإِذَا كَانَ اللَّهَ قَدْ صَرَّحَ فِي كِتَابِهِ أَنَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِبَعْضٍ وَكَفَرَ بِبَعْضٍ فَهُوَ الْكَافِرُ حَقًّا زَالَتْ هَذِهِ الشُّبُهَةُ وَهَذِهِ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْأَحْزَابِ فِي كِتَابِهِ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُ إِلَيْنَا. So if it becomes clear to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in His Quran, in His book, that those who believe in some and disbelieve in some are the disbelievers in truth, then this argument of theirs has been demolished. They no longer have an argument. Because you take them back and say, listen, yes, you believe, you declare in the Shahada, and you're believing in Sawm, and you're believing in Zakah, but you are worshipping others with Allah. You are denying the verses that Allah commanded you to worship Him alone. You are doing the very same thing that Allah did not want His creation to do. So you are accepting something from Allah and rejecting other things from Allah. So you're no longer a believer. And this is how this particular argument is presented to them. InshaAllah ta'ala, if you're able to memorize these particular verses, the one in Surah Al-Imran, verse 97, dealing with Hajj, and more importantly, the one in Surah Al-Nisa, verse 150 and 151. Again, if you're unable to memorize the Arabic, at least memorize it in your language. But don't deprive yourself of having the evidence there. Even the understanding is necessary. Because maybe you don't have time, maybe you're busy. I understand not everybody is able to sit there and memorize these verses, although it is highly recommended. But if you're unable to do so, at least try to memorize it in your native tongue. So you can quote it at the time of need. And if they dispute with you, you can always refer them to the Quran. Say, look, you don't believe me, here's the Quran, it's there. But if you have it memorized in your mind, even in your own language, then this will be helpful. Otherwise, just speaking from your own intellect, it may not really be very convincing to them. So you need to quote the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as means of explanation. And so we don't want to make this any longer, because you know the time of Isha is coming much later now. with the future discussion, inshallah, next week, some examples from the seerah, from the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that proves that people who had this partial belief, believed in some and disbelieved in some, were declared to be kuffar even at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were fought against. Their iman was not accepted as being sound because of the quality of believing in some and disbelieving in some. So wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم